You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. In the late 60s and early 70s, a new sound started to emerge from the streets of San Francisco's Mission District. It would come to be known as Latin rock. One of the bands in that scene, Dakila, started out playing Santana covers and went on to become one of the first Filipino-American groups to land a major record deal. Their 1972 self-titled debut album would be the band's only release, but in the years since, they've developed a cult following. After 40 years, original member David Bustamante reformed the band, and he stopped by KALW Studios to tell the story of Dakila for this edition of Bay Area Beats.
My name is David Bustamante, and I am the leader of the legendary band Dakila. I was born in Fort Worth, Texas, with a musical family. My father was a musician in the Air Force and conducting big bands and things like that. And that's how we got our influence in music, all the whole family. And we moved to California when I was, I think, two. We were in Vallejo, actually, you know, so which was sort of an easy place to settle at that time. And this was, I'm talking about 1953. And a lot of Filipino families settled in the Bay Area because of Mare Island, the naval stations of Hamilton Air Force Base, Travis Air Force Base. So from Vallejo, my primary years up until 7th, 8th grade, we moved to San Francisco, and then I finished my high school years in San Francisco. In fact, Balboa High School.
When the time comes, you're all alone. Times are hard on your own.
The music in San Francisco was real hot. The recording companies were looking for bands that were similar to Santana, who at that time was still evolving. And we all had our own idea of what music should be coming out of the Mission District, that type of thing, because it was a melting pot of Latinos, Filipinos, a lot of soul music, a lot of Latin groove music. And so it evolved into what, I guess, what they call Latin rock at the time. There was a lot of activity in the parks with percussions and things like that. So a lot of stuff from New York coming over to San Francisco. A lot of political activity going on with Cesar Chavez and all these things that were going on in the universities. It was a perfect time to express yourself. My older brother, Romeo, who was already actively playing in the San Francisco scene at that time, who also had a Latin rock band, and he was doing Santana covers. And he's the guy that I kind of followed, you know, to be in his band at that time. And while he was doing that, I was still in Vallejo learning my guitar craft and playing with several bands in Vallejo area, including a band that was at that time called Project Soul, who turned into Confunction. So there was a lot of music coming from Vallejo. So when I moved to San Francisco, I was pretty much, I would say, primed and, you know, had some experience already. When I joined the band had to create its own identity to compete with what was going on at the time. And we changed the name to Dakila. It means nobility. It means greatness. The idea came from our dad, you know, because we wanted to be a little different from Santana, a little bit different from Malo, a little different from Azteca, Sapo, who was whatever the local mission bands at that time. Being that we were Filipinos and we had something to say about, you know, our culture, and so it was important that we change our name to that name because it had a Filipino identity to it. After the success of Santana, all these record labels were coming out into San Francisco looking for bands that sort of had that kind of groove or that kind of sound. We got a call from Clive Davis from Columbia, and he saw the band practice, and then he signed us up to Epic Columbia. I says, cool, Columbia. Hey, that's the same label as Santana, Columbia Records. They were really happy with that. I was 17 at the time. I really didn't know what I was doing, and no experience with recording. This is all new to me. We'll be right back. When that record came out, there was a lot of proud people. They were shaking our hands and they were signing their albums, and they were, putting us on the radio. The word got out in the Philippines that some Filipino American band was big. And in the Philippines, the wife of then President Marcos got word of that and wanted the band to go to the Philippines. I got my shots. I got everything. We were ready to go. And it says, oh, no, it's too dangerous to go over there. It was martial law going on at that time. So, we decided not to go. Yeah. And I think if we went, it would have changed history of the band.
Welcome to Epic Records Tagalog English Language Lesson Number 1. First word, Dakila.
Dakila.
The language lesson. It was geared towards DJs that couldn't pronounce, the words. That was the idea of the producers at that time, and I think it's kind of racist.
Some DJs have been playing Epic's new Filipino rock release, Dakila, without announcing the titles of the songs, in order to avoid embarrassing phone calls and surprise visits from the small but wiry Filipino listeners.
It showed the ignorance of the people at the time.
Try using these words in your everyday conversations. And until then, mabuhay.
It was a 5-year contract. At that time, you were supposed to produce an album a year. And so, being that the band wasn't happy with Columbia or Epic, what was happening, or, the progress of the band, And so, are we really going to just find another label? And I think what I remember, they just, gladly released us from the 5-year contract. We had some great 6 tunes on the second album, but that album was shelved. It was never released. The band at the time, we wanted to say something, but it was a little too early, I think, in history. These guys aren't, they're just too indigenous for us type of thing. It was kind of frustrating. One band member left and another band member left and tried to hold it together. I went back to college. I was really young. That was the advice of my dad at the time. He said, if you want to enjoy playing music, get a job. And that's what he said, and I remember that. So the band members started, leaving one at a time and trying to find other things. And me and my brother and my cousin, who was a drummer at the time, kept Tequila back as long as we can. And then, unfortunately, we started settling into started playing covers just so the band could still work. And then after a while, you just couldn't get gigs because DJs were taking over live bands, at the time. The disco was happening, and then all the live venues were starting to disappear. So it was depressing altogether. The late 70s and through 80s, I was just away from the whole music scene. I was raising a family. We moved to the East Bay. But as far as what was happening with the album and Dakila, I was really not, it was ignorant as to what was going on. I started finding out all these things. I go, wow, there's just a cult following that was happening. There's people following this band and this album, and then people are selling the album and collectibles and things like that. And I had no idea this was going on. The story and the legacy, you can't help. It's done. It's history. It's nothing I could do about that. But because it's important for me to tell the story of what happened and what we were trying to do at that time, I feel responsible for the people and also the past members of the band who were trying to do the same thing. And so now that they're not here anymore, I feel responsible for trying to let new generation hear the music, new generation know about this band. So I'm having a good time recreating and sharing the music now, because I think it's better. It's funkier. It's deeper. You're going to feel what we're doing. Many people have thanked us for doing what we did. It opened doors for a lot of people, but then we're talking about 45 years later, we go back and it says they'll learn about this band. Well, these guys are badass. I says, oh my God, So I'm hearing stuff like that. I always joke about saying Filipinos are everywhere. They are everywhere, and you just don't know it. They're in the film industry, they're in the news, they're in documentaries, they're writing books, they're chefs, they're in politics, they're everywhere, and you just don't know it, and it's time to know that.
That was David Bustamante of the band Dequila. You can catch them performing this Sunday at the Undiscovered SF Creative Night Market. That's in San Francisco's SoMa District. That piece was produced by Bo Walsh. And if you're subscribed to the Cross Currents podcast, you can hear more from Bay Area Beats anytime, wherever you want.